7:43, Morning Mess, Big FM 93.7. Time now for Dial-A-Doc. And from FHN, FHN audiologist Annalise Hartman joins me this morning. Good morning, Annalise.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, absolutely. And thank you so much for joining us here today on Dial-A-Doc. And let's just start here, I guess, first off, what your role is there at FHN.
Well, I am a clinical audiologist. I hold a doctorate in audiology, which encompasses both communicative disorders regarding hearing as well as medical audiology, which encompasses diseases of the ear pertaining to all aspects of the ear, including balance.
All right. And what all is included, I guess, in the practice of audiology?
Oh, gosh, I do a lot. So my patient population is, we like to joke, birth to death. So I see everybody from newborns all the way up through the stages of life. And I focus mainly on medical audiology as it pertains to disorders of the ear, disorders of hearing, and disorders of balance. So any of those problems that someone might have, you may see me alone. You may see me in conjunction with a neurologist or an ENT. But that's what I spend my day doing.
So what types of conditions can lead to hearing problems?
Oh, gosh, there's a lot of them. Some of the main ones, of course, what we are all familiar with is aging. All of us will lose hearing acuity as we age. Other things, I guess if anybody has had kids, you're familiar with the ear infections and the treatment for those. A lot of kids who have ear infections end up with tubes, and you would see me pre and post-op to verify hearing sensitivity pre and post-surgery to make sure that everything is moving along. Other things, there are things like Meniere's disease, which affects both hearing and balance, as well as diabetes. Diabetes is a huge aspect on our hearing imbalance system. It is actually one of the things I deal with the most.
How could a parent help identify maybe if their child has a hearing problem?
So the first and foremost risk factor for pediatric hearing loss is parental concern. So if a parent comes in with a concern about their kid's hearing, that's one of the things that we take the most seriously. A couple ways that you may have concern arise for your kid is concern from the teacher not progressing in school, or if they're not in school yet, seeing that the child is not progressing with speech and language acquisition. Those are some hallmarks of potential hearing loss.
So let's say then the child comes in. What kind of tests, what kinds of testing do you perform?
So as you might imagine, testing littles, you know, the five and under population can be a bit challenging. They are not the patient population that is going to press a button or raise their hand in response to a beep. So we get creative. Of course, we look inside of the ears using an otoscope. I also run some electroacoustic emittance, which allows for me to look at whether or not their eardrums are moving and whether or not they have fluid behind their eardrums. I also run a test called otoacoustic emissions that allows for me to look at the function of their cochlea and determine whether or not all of the processes are in place for normal hearing. I can't say there is normal hearing with that test, but I can look at the structures and say that those processes are working. We also do behavioral testing where I present sounds and get them to look in response to the sound by presenting a lighted animated toy. So we try and get a pretty good global picture of what those ears and hearing are doing by employing several different aspects for the pediatric population.
We're talking with Annalise Hartman today, FHN audiologist here on Dial-A-Doc. And Annalise here, certainly the hearing aids of today are not the hearing aids of 10, 15 years ago. What are some of the other new kind of products that you have for people with hearing issues?
So we have amazing instruments these days. I've been in practice with FHN for over 20 years now, and the hearing aids, you're right, of today are not the ones of 5, 10, even, you know, 15 years ago. We have some really amazing things that help in background noise. Of course, there are aspects of the instruments that are not really pertaining to hearing, but make our lives better with Bluetooth connectivity and streaming your phone calls, your FaceTimes with your grandchildren, and your media to your hearing aids. They are also almost all nearly rechargeable, so no more fussing with batteries. And some of the new products that I've had out, you know, longtime users have been just so pleased with the newer functions.
Now, that's if somebody is having hearing issues, how would you advise people maybe before it gets to that point, what they can do to protect their hearing?
Oh, that's a great question. The most important part of what I do is prevention. Hearing loss is actually a pretty preventable disease when it comes to noise exposure. And think about what your exposures are. What are your daily exposures? What are your weekly exposures? And what are your special occasion exposures? All of them are probably going to require some bit of protection in the form of earmuffs or earplugs. And a good rule of thumb is that if you are standing 3 feet from a person, they should not have to raise their voice to hear for you to hear them based on the outside noise. The same goes for our kids who are wearing earbuds. If you have to raise your voice for them to hear you through the earbuds, they're playing their volume too loudly.
How can people make an appointment to visit with you, Annalise?
So we have a couple options. You can, of course, call our direct line, which is 815-599-7610, and speak to either Sarah or Pat. We also have our Facebook page, FHN Audiology, and you just fhn.org/audiology. You can also make an appointment through there.
All right, Annalise Hartman, FHN audiologist here today on Dial-A-Doc. Annalise, thanks for joining me. We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Annalise Hartman, FHN audiologist here today on Dial-A-Doc.